So one of the things that we do here is on Christmas Eve, we'll have a special offering. And the complete offering will go towards two causes that we have, that the board has chosen to be able to give towards. One of the causes is similar to what Sid was talking about with Brightwood Ranch, where they have, it starts with a meal, but then they have the experience and they hear the message of Jesus. Because Hope Mission is not just about meals, it's about people, and it's about speaking into people's lives and helping them to find Jesus. And so we have a camp that our church is involved in at Deer Valley Meadows that we send kids to every year, kids camp, youth camp, as well as a retreat. And last year what we did is we did fundraising for our camps. And so we were able to send 12 kids, 12 children, 12 youth, and to both of our camps, as well as 10 youth to Fallover. And that was at no expense to those families for those kids to be able to go. And so it just removes some of the barriers of some of the families that we have in our congregation or in our network that they are able to get to camp and to be able to have that experience. Because one of the things that happens at camp is that you start out and everybody kind of feels a little bit insecure and they're just trying to figure out everything and they're kind of lamenting the fact that we took their phones away. And they're starting to develop relationships and they're working through some of the tensions and they're trying to figure out how to sleep in the cabin without their parents around. And it's not very comfortable and sometimes it's a little stuffy and it smells funky. And then they go to their service and they're kind of sort of listening but not really listening. And then the week goes on and usually by about Thursday evening what happens is you start to see the Spirit move in young people's lives. And it's an absolutely incredible experience to watch kids as they start to think, wow, maybe I need to change my life a little bit. Maybe I need to commit my life to Jesus, or maybe I need to take my faith a little more seriously. And they have these transformational experiences, and that's what it's all about. And so one of the things that we're going to be doing is last year we raised $10,000 towards sponsorship. This year our goal is to raise $15,000 towards sponsorships for kids and youth to be able to go to camp, because camp is going to get more and more expensive and we hopefully will have more and more kids that want to go. And so it removes that barrier and helps to give them that transformational experience. So that's the first $15,000. And then after that, we're going to be raising money towards Hope Mission. Now, last year, we blew this out of the water. Our goal was to have $10,000 and then $20,000 towards Hope Mission. This year, our goal is $15,000 and $25,000 towards Hope Mission. And our partnerships and projects team is going to match that $25,000 to go towards Hope Mission. And so hopefully through all of that, we'll be able to raise at least $50,000 to be able to go towards Hope Mission to help provide meals, to help with Brightwood Ranch, to help those kids be able to get to camp and to have that experience of just having food security for at least a week, as well as hearing about the message of Jesus. And so these are amazing things that we're able to be able to participate in, to be able to give towards this Christmas. And so that'll be our Christmas Eve offering. There's more information that you'll get in the email out this week if you've signed up for our email. You'll be able to hopefully have that information. And just to be reminded, and we'll bring reminders in, but that's basically the main pitch to be able to give to you of what we're going to be doing on Christmas Eve. Well, it really feels like winter today, doesn't it? Oh, it was really hard because I hadn't started my truck or driven my truck since Friday, and so I had to dig it out this morning, and then I had to shovel my driveway, and then finally I could come to the church. And yesterday I went into the garage because I was doing a project, and I walked by my motorbike, and I really started to lament a little bit because I miss biking season, and it just feels like this weekend, it's like it's long gone. I will not get back on that thing until spring. And I was just really sad about that. And I was remembering all of my friends who I ride with or who I meet up with or all my friends that I see on the road that I've never met before. But they're my friends because they're on two wheels. And one of the things about bikers and biking culture is that when you pass each other on the road, it's like this camaraderie, like, hey, yeah, keep two wheels on the ground. and you know, look out for everybody else because it's us against the world, right? And what we do is we wave, and sometimes we'll wave like this. I wave like this. I give a peace sign because I really love to give the peace sign. The other day, it was like months ago, that I was riding on the highway, and there was this guy who was going a little bit faster than I was, and he was on a Harley as well. But his was a little more like bad looking than mine is. And he was like, he was passing me. And he gave me the peace sign. I'm like, oh, yeah, fellow peace sign guy. And he looked so cool. And I'm like, man, I hope I look that cool when I give the peace sign on my bike. I wish I could look that cool. But I don't know if I do. But you know what? It's okay. But for me, the peace sign that I give when I'm riding my bike, and sometimes I'll do that even in the truck, but then it's like, people, why are you giving me a peace sign? That's weird. But it's one of those things where, like, I have these strange conversations with people because once in a while when I'm on my bike, I'll have conversations with people who are in cars. There was just by my house, I was stopped at a light a while ago, and this guy pulled up next to me and he rolls down his window. He's like, you need flames on that thing. I'm like, that's random. Like, what is? It's black. I don't want to put flames on it. Then it just kind of ruins it. You know, this is the look I was going for. Don't tell me to put flames. And then another guy was like, hey, man, it's a really nice day. And you talk about the weather and it's just these random conversations that happen. So I recommend that you get a motorbike so you can have those random conversations. But the thing is, when I give that peace sign, it's more than just a gesture. It's more than just, hey, keep safe out there. But for me, it's like peace is really important within our world. And I have a peace within me that a lot of people don't have. And wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, I have that sense of peace that's going along with me. Even in the most turmoil and anxiety-ridden circumstances that I can face, there is a peace that I can tap into within me. And that peace is not something that I've conjured up on my own, but that peace is the peace of God within me. That peace is found in the Holy Spirit that guides me, that helps me to find that peace. Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2. And it's one of those things where you got to understand every year at Advent season, it's like we do the same theme over and over and over and over again because we follow the church calendar a little bit. And so this is the week of peace in Advent. And Luke chapter 2 is a passage that we often refer to. And the thing is, even though I preach the same themes over and over and over again, there's new elements that emerge for me to be able to understand because of what's happening in the world, what's happening in my life, what's happening within me, that peace is still the same, but the circumstances are a little bit different. And yet I love coming back to this passage where there's these shepherds in the field. And they get faced by an angel. Let's read it for you. Let's read it together. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." So now you think about it. Here's these shepherds in the middle of a field, and suddenly a bright angel appears before them. Now, I don't know about you, but I think for them, it is the most normal thing to do in that situation is to freak out, right? Could you imagine that? Like you see lights in a field or in dark, it's like, I'm freaking out right now because that's not what's supposed to happen. That was a supernatural experience where heaven invades earth, where they have collided and you have this angelic being, this heavenly being right in front of you, giving you a message. And what's more than that is finally they calm down and then the choir comes. And now you've got a whole bunch of heavenly angels that are lighting up the sky right in front of you. And I don't know, the sheep, they say that sheep are not very smart creatures. Maybe they didn't even know what was going on. But I imagine the sheep created a little bit of chaos because they're very fearful creatures, right? So it's not even the shepherds, but the sheep. And so to be able to bring calm and peace in that situation that was absolutely wild can only be done by God, to be able to bring any sort of calm in that situation for them to actually hear the message of what the angel was saying. And the thing is, so many times in our lives, we look for peace in outside sources as opposed to within. And we have a longing for peace within our lives, because we're searching and searching and searching for peace all the time, because there's so much anxiety and turmoil within our world. And for many of us, we just want less stress. We want less conflict. We want more peace and quiet. We want more inner relaxation. We want our surroundings to have a flowing space within our context, where we want to be organized in our space, so we know that where everything is all the time and everyone puts things back where they're supposed to be, right? Or maybe some of us are just like, I just want more resources to be able to have everything that I need and not have insecurity about what I need. And as we search and search and search for peace, whether it be within or whether it be with the people around us, Mother Teresa said something very simple while she was still alive. And she said, peace starts with a smile. Peace starts with a smile. Now, a lot of times we're going to be out and about in maybe shopping, and it's probably going to be fairly busy, because that's what happens around Christmas time. When I'm on my way home, I pass South Common, and I'm like, haha, I don't have to be in that line to get into South Common. I can just go bypass and go home. But at some point, I'm going to have to go to South Common and go shopping, because I need to buy some presents, probably, right? But the thing is, as we encounter stressed out shoppers or cashiers who are really tired and overworked and probably underpaid, we can smile. We can bring a smile into the room, and sometimes it's just a smile, not a creepy smile, but a nice smile. A nice smile can brighten someone's day, and chances are will bring peace. And if it's a really angry person, they're like, what are you smirking at, right? Nobody really does that, but once in a while, it might happen, you know, depending on where you are, depending on how far they've gotten away from peace. But peace can start with this smile, this expression of being able to spread some joy and happiness. Some people call it Christmas cheer, right? But the thing is, what that would cause is maybe a temporary peace within that person's life or in that situation. And it might come from within you that it's not a temporary peace, but in that situation, it might be what brings temporary peace. And a lot of things that we look for and the things that we try to develop within our lives brings that temporary peace. It might be a moment where we have this sense of peace, but then there's that next moment that has less peace. And it might be quiet that happens within our lives, and finally some peace and quiet. But then the noise usually returns, doesn't it? There might be a conversation that we've had that's just a beautiful, peaceful conversation, but then the next conversation might not be as peaceful. It might be an inspirational post that we read or that we see on whatever social media platform we're looking at. And it's like, oh, that's really nice. It gives me some warm feelings. That little puppy that did that cute thing. We have a sense of peace. But then the next post is probably from a news app or something like that, right? Might not be as peaceful. And there might be a circumstance that finally resolves itself, and we have this sense of peace that things have happened and things have gone better. But then change often comes right after that, doesn't it? And some other circumstance comes up. Or maybe for some of us, we just want a break. We just want to pause. We just want to be still. We just want to be relaxed just for like 10 minutes. But then sometimes, even when we do that, the reality of our thoughts, the processes, the inner dialogue, the analyzing of what's happening around us kind of sets in. We're not really able to get that break. And that's what happens when we look outside for those resources to be able to bring peace. And I think it's important for us to ask, as we go into this Advent season, where do I look for peace? Where do I look for peace? And where do I source peace? See, there's a source that we have access to be able to have peace. And there's this thing where Jesus comes into the world and chaos happens. And chaos is constantly happening within our lives. And it's nothing new in this world. It's been happening since the beginning of time. But the world that Jesus came into, it was a mess. And our world has been and still is a mess. And we can't wait for the chaos to stop. We can't wait for the mess to be cleaned up in order to have peace. And the thing is, we can't pursue peace, but we receive the peace that can only be found in Jesus. And if we don't look at peace that way, what happens is we end up living and acting in continuous, constant fear. Everything we react to is out of fear because we don't have that peace that only Jesus can give. So Jesus enters this world as a little baby, and there's wholeness that comes, and he came to save and fulfill what God had promised from the beginning of time. And there was a completion that Jesus is the beginning, the unfolding story, and the end of the story all in one. I spoke with someone this week who was just new to exploring this whole faith in Jesus. And it was this beautiful conversation. And he was talking about how he was just so drawn towards the Word of God. And he was reading the Word of God. And I'm like, okay, where are you reading? It's like, oh, I was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. I'm like, hey, how about this? Let's go to the climax of the story. And how about you start by reading the Gospel of John? Because that's really cool. And all the other stuff speaks into this, and this speaks into all the other stuff. He's like, okay, cool, I'm going to do that. And that's really what it's about, isn't it? That Jesus is what it's all about. That he is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Kind of sounds like a Christmas carol, doesn't it? That's in the book of Isaiah. That's the Old Testament. Prophesying who Jesus was, what he would do, and what he represents. Now, think about it. Wonderful Counselor. That sounds like really good news, doesn't it? A Wonderful Counselor. Somebody who's going to give me advice. Somebody who's going to take care of me. The Mighty God. Someone who is going to rule, who is created, who is powerful. He carries the government on his shoulders. Think of that image. That really speaks very loudly in our political climate today, doesn't it? That regardless of what they're doing, he is carrying them, not the other way around. Regardless of what they're doing, he is carrying them, and he is still the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, when we look at Jesus, we see peace. The late philosopher and author Dallas Willard described Jesus in one word. He was asked, how can you describe Jesus in one word? You know what he said? Relaxed. He said relaxed because the short time that Jesus had to do ministry, he took time to party, to go on hikes, to wander alone, to walk from town to town and eat in people's homes, and then to also teach and heal a bunch of people. He didn't have very much time, but he was relaxed in his posture because he had the peace of God. And regardless of what people tried to say to him and try to lead him, he was following God with his life. He had the peace of God within him. And so the thing is, the Holy Spirit continues that God's the Creator. He gathers Jesus as the Son, who is our Savior. And the Holy Spirit advocates for us and leads us. And in John 14, Jesus said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus promised the Holy Spirit that descended onto us at Pentecost into the world to give peace, to give power, to give the presence of God on earth. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." It transcends our understanding. And that's the thing, that we tap into this peace as we receive it from God, as we seek God with our lives. How do I source the peace in my life? How do I get it? Well, through Jesus, who transforms us. Through Jesus, who has this peace that transcends and is beyond our understanding and our comprehension. Peace that is given, not earned, but peace that needs to be received. So a couple of questions of reflection today as we close our time. Where are you looking for peace? Where are you looking for peace within your life?
And secondly, how can you lean on the Holy Spirit to receive more peace in your life? Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are the source of peace. Peace that we can't earn. Peace that we can't develop within our lives, but peace that we receive from you. And so, God, as we contemplate just that word, peace, as we think about the character, the posture of Jesus, and how he was relaxed. He was relaxed not because there wasn't an urgency around him, but he was relaxed because he had your peace, because he was the Prince of Peace. And God, in our world, there's so many reasons to be anxious, to be fearful, to be scared of what's going on around us. And yet, God, we know you carry it all on your shoulders. Lord, you know the heart. You know the person who doesn't know where their next meal is coming from. Lord, you know the person who doesn't have a home to live in. Lord, you know the person who has ample food, the person who has a beautiful home. Lord, you know us so well. And Lord, each of us carries with us a sense of worry, anxiety, troubles. And so, Lord, we look to you as the source of our peace. That God, regardless of what is happening around us, and even regardless of what's happening to us, Lord, that you would help us to receive that peace into our lives. That in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the turmoil, Lord, you are the Prince of Peace.